It's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Simon Pagenaud trying to sweep the month of May and trying to go to eternal glory, winning his first ever Indianapolis 500. But Rossi is right there. He looks to the inside.
Pagenaud is slipping all over, trying to irritate that air. Now Alexander Rossi to the outside. Pagenaud shuts the door in turn number three. Simon Pagenaud, two colleagues in front of Alexander Rossi.
Through the short chute, Simon Pagenaud, the lead, trying to win from the pole. Take him home, Mark James.
Pagenaud got a strong run for turn number four. He's going to pull away from Alexander Rossi. Simon Pagenaud sweeps the mud. Twin checkers out. He'll go to victory lane. Simon Pagenaud wins the 103rd running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. And that's how you heard it here last Sunday on WGR's Mark James and the IMS Radio Network. Call home Simon Pagenaud to win the Indianapolis 500 in a thrilling last couple of lap battle with former Indy 500 winner Alexander Rossi. And Pagenaud gets his first ever win in the Indy 500, his second of the month, as you heard Mark James mention, sweeping the month because he won the Indy Grand Prix just a couple of weeks earlier on the road course, and Roger Penske's 18th career Indianapolis 500 win. And what a race it was last Sunday at the Brickyard, part of a jam-packed racing day last Sunday, along with the Monaco Grand Prix of Monaco and the Coca-Cola 600, which is won by Martin Truex Jr. And that's what we're talking about here this morning on WGR's Fast Track. Phone lines are open, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Really just simple this morning. Your thoughts on the racing last weekend, including that thrilling race at Indy, another classic at the Brickyard between Pagenaud and Rossi there in the final 20 laps, and the drama and the emotion out of Alexander Rossi. What a great race it was. We've also got lots going on this weekend, racing-wise, going on as well, too. Not just talk about last weekend, but, of course, IndyCar, as always, right out of Indianapolis. They head to Detroit, and they're on the track right now in Detroit for qualifying for today's second half of the duel at Detroit. They ran yesterday in the rain for most of the day at Detroit, with Joseph Newgarden coming out on top over Alexander Rossi. The heavy rains that we got late in the afternoon, early evening yesterday, that went through Detroit earlier in the day, soaked things up in Belle Isle, and they started the rain and the wet, and it eventually dried out a little bit. But they ran the race in mostly wet condition yesterday. Today it's sunny there in Detroit, it looks like, and actually qualifying is going on right now. I got it on here in the studio, and they'll be racing later today. So again, that huge swing in the IndyCar season, the double points race at the Brickyard, the Indy 500, and then the two races at Detroit the week after. Such a swing in the IndyCar season really can make or break a driver's run for the championship. And Alexander Rossi now with two second-place finishes between last Sunday and yesterday, looking to continue that run. But what a great race. Again, 803-0550. Coming up on today's program, along with talking about the Indy 500 and the Coke 600 last week, as I said, IndyCar in action at Detroit and NASCAR in action in Pocono. Speaking of weather, threats of weather, there always seems to be that in Pocono, Pennsylvania. And Pocono 400 today, and you can hear it right here on WGR, coming up with coverage at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And Dylan Welch from the Motor Racing Network is going to join us in less than 10 minutes here on the program to talk about the race today at Pocono. He was in Indianapolis, actually, for the 500. We can talk to him about that, too. And we'll talk to Dylan from the Motor Racing Network, as they'll have live flag-to-flag coverage. Green flag coming up just after 2 o'clock this afternoon. NASCAR already announcing that there will be a competition caution for today's race at Pocono because of the weather that has rolled through the area. So they'll have a competition caution. William Byron on the pole for today's race. And, of course, figures. I just had the lineup here in front of me, and now it has disappeared off my computer. There we go. Byron on the pole. Kyle Busch will share the front row with him. Clint Boyer, Eric Jones in row two. Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Jimmy Johnson, Daniel Suarez, and Austin Dillon. Your top 10 starters today at Pocono for the Pocono 400. So, again, we'll talk to Dylan Welch in less than 10 minutes about that. But back to the Indy 500, and what a phenomenal race. Again, as I've not shied away from, was pulling for Rossi to win it last week. And he had a shot there at the end, and unfortunately, Pagenaud passed him with two to go. And I thought maybe it would be kind of like we've seen in other Indy 500s, where it's kind of back and forth in those last few laps, and maybe the guy leading with on the last lap gets passed. But Pagenaud was able to stay away from Rossi, and you heard in the clip there he was weaving and keeping Rossi at bay to avoid Pagenaud or Rossi from pulling some kind of a slingshot pass on him, and Pagenaud was able to hold on. But what a wild final 20 laps. You had Rossi take the lead with 20 to go, and then there was the caution for the big wreck with Rahal and Bourdais, and then you had Graham Rahal getting in the face of Bourdais there after those two tangled and set off the biggest crash of the afternoon and set up that last 14 lap dash to the checkers with Pagenaud taking the lead as they went back to green, and then drivers back and forth here. Pagenaud had the lead when they went back to green, sorry, and then Pagenaud gave it up to Rossi with two to go, and then Pagenaud coming to the final lap. Pagenaud stole it from Rossi to steal the win. But what a day for Rossi. I mean, was in contention right from the beginning, although Pagenaud dominated early on in the event. You could tell Rossi was going to be in the hunt, but then they had that fueling issue on pit road, and you thought, oh no, that might do him in. Of course, where they had the fueling issues and the bad pit stop, but luckily he got a caution, I believe, right around when that happened, was able to stay in contention for the race. And then the incident with Servia, with about 45 laps to go, Oriel Servia, Rossi was trying to pass him down the front straightaway. Servia put a block on him, and as Rossi tried to pass him on the very inside alongside the inside pit wall, and Servia threw the block, and then Rossi is angrily gesturing at Servia as he goes by him down the front straightaway. That was a crazy scene to see, just Rossi shaking his fist at Servia as he went by. And that little feud continued onto social media this week too, as Rossi had a nice tweet. Of course, Servia's quote unquote day job, he's not a full-time driver in the IndyCar series. He was picked up a ride for the 500, but at any other IndyCar event, his job is pace car driver, believe it or not. And Rossi's tweet was something to the effect of, it's a good thing Servia being so good at the pace car driver, because he does such a great job at blocking the leader, or something to the effect of that. And Servia had a nice response to that too. But a nice little back and forth between those guys on Twitter during the week. But Rossi was none too pleased with Servia's actions there down the front row. I think even Rossi might have thought Servia was a lap down at the time. But in fact, he wasn't. That was a pass for position. And so that held up Rossi briefly. But luckily, he was able to make up from that and still be in the fight there at the finish with Pagenaud. But Pagenaud, again, picking up the win. Rossi finishing second. Takuma Sato finishing third. And just like Rossi, back-to-back second-place finishes, Sato has back-to-back third-place finishes, because he placed third yesterday at Belle Isle as well. So a nice couple of points races for Sato, too. Joseph Newgarden finishing fourth. Will Power rounding out the top five. So Penske had three cars in the top five on Sunday. Rookie Santino Ferrucci was the rookie of the race. He finished seventh. Ryan Hunter-Reay eighth. Tony Kanaan ninth. Connor Daly rounded out the top ten. James Hinchcliffe finishing in 11th, not much of a factor really in the race, but still picking up a lot of positions from his 32nd starting spot. Other notable names in the field, Scott Dixon, not a great day, finishing 17th. Elio Castroneves, he was involved in a pit road incident, finishing 18th, one lap down. Marcus Ericsson had his incident on pit road as well, too, 23rd. Marco Andretti, what a disappointment. He was not in it from the get-go. He quickly went a lap or two down. It was not a factor. They had some issues all day long. It was disappointing that he was not much of a factor in the race, so he placed in 26th, five laps down, but did finish the race. And then you have Rahal, who was in that late race crash with Bourdais. He finished 27th. Also involved in that were Felix Rosenquist, Zach Veach, and Bourdais. And then Colton Herta, another disappointment from a driver that thought might be a factor, started in fifth, but unfortunately he quickly developed mechanical issues just laps into the race. Lap three, he dropped out and he brought out that first caution of the race, and so Herta was a bit of a disappointment too. So some of the stories you know, that we had talked about, especially the Herta and with the rookie class. You know, the rookies weren't really much of a factor, as you know, Rosenquist and Erickson both did not finish the race. Did same with Herta and Ben Hanley. You know, Ferrucci was the only rookie to finish the race, and he finished in seventh. But really, the rookie class wasn't much of a factor. And then you had Andretti, who we thought maybe you know, would be a factor, and unfortunately for him, was not in the end, as again, he had his issues all day long. But you look at the finishing results too, a nice mix between the Chevrolets and the Hondas. Everybody's talked about the power of the Chevrolets coming out of qualifying, but there was a lot of talk about the Hondas were much better in lap traffic and in race traffic, and that really showed with what Rossi could do, working his way through the field and shelling Pagenaud for the win. But he had a nice balance at the top of the results with you know, the three Penske Chevys finishing up front, and then you had the Andretti Honda for Rossi and the Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing car of Sato. They're all placing in the top five, and then you even had Carpenter in sixth. In a Chevrolet, and then Ferrucci and Hunter Ray and Daly and Hondas and Kanaan in a Chevrolet. So pretty much an even split between the two engine manufacturers there in the top 10. So really kind of balanced out. And although, as I said, Pagenaud did lead most of the day, there was still some good action throughout the field. And again, that great battle for the win. Get 803-0551, 888-550-2550. And then yesterday, as I said, Joseph Newgarden picking up the win. He had to hold off Alexander Rossi. Again, a Penske car holding off Rossi for the second race in a row, as Rossi tried to chase down Newgarden in the closing laps, but really didn't get a chance to make a pass for the win. So Newgarden picked up the win over Rossi. As I said, Sato finishing third. Rosenquist bouncing back to finish fourth. Hunter Ray rounding out the top five yesterday at Detroit. Then Pagenaud, Ray Hall, Zach Veach, Hinchcliffe, and Spencer Pigot round out the top five, top 10 at Detroit yesterday. Bourdais finishing in 11th. Marco Andretti, another disappointing day, in 16th. Will Power and Scott Dixon both crashed out of the race. Power in 18th and Dixon finished last in 22nd. So real bad days for those two former champions and Indy 500 winners yesterday at Detroit. And again, they are in qualifying as we speak at Belle Isle, setting the field for today's second half of the Detroit doubleheader. With that, though, we're going to switch gears and go to the Western Hotline and bring in, from the Motor Racing Network, reporter Dylan Welch joins us on the line. Dylan, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Doing great. Great to finally get you on the show. We get a lot of folks from MRN here on the program, and I think it's our first chance to talk to you. You are, of course, in Long Pond, Pennsylvania for today's race at Pocono, and how are things shaping up today at the Tricky Triangle?
Well, it's going to be interesting. You know, the biggest concern so far today has been the weather. Because
shocking.
There's weather in the area, but it's beginning to look a little more promising than it was maybe early in the week. So that's good. But otherwise, just excited to go for 400 miles here at Pocono, and you know, kind of walking through the garage and talking to some of the crew chiefs this morning. I think maybe the consensus is that they don't even know exactly what to expect today, which is something we've kind of seen a handful of times already this year with this new package that the Cup cars are utilizing. So should be a fun day, and excited to get going here in just a little bit.
Dylan, William Byron on the pole today, and really kind of continues this kind of early season improvement out of Hendrick Motorsports. They've had some good finishes, some drivers finishing up front here in the last few races. You know, Chase Elliott's got a win this year. What have you seen out of the Hendrick camp so far this season? They've been strong, especially with some qualifying performances lately, but they're also getting some finishes too that are showing that they're trying to turn the ship around there.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. They've shown speed with their qualifying, and William Byron's been on the front row, I think six times already this year. So they've obviously got speed. You know, Chase has won this year, and I think, you know, Jimmy and Alex, you know, Alex has finished second 3 weekends in a row, and Jimmy has just kind of been slowly kind of chipping away at it too, and getting up to speed with his other teammates. So I think that they're definitely improving, you know, and keep in mind, you know, it's still early on in the season, so everybody is still kind of learning this new package, and Hendrick especially, you know, is maybe taking a little longer than I'm sure they had hoped to come to grips with everything that they need to make their cars go fast. But I think the numbers don't lie and the results don't lie when you look at them, that as a group, you know, collectively, I think that the you know, they can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they are improving each week, and the finishes will come with that. You know, the more consistently they start to run up front, you know, every week, and then obviously that's going to parlay better into the finishing results. But they've shown speed; they have speed. Now it's just kind of a matter of putting a whole race together and getting the finishes that they probably deserve.
Yeah, we talk about the new aero package, as you mentioned there off the bat, Dylan. What do you think we can maybe see that we don't that we haven't seen maybe at some of the other tracks this year? Do you see particularly the draft becoming even more of a factor, like it has a little bit at the mile and a half tracks? I don't know, is shifting an option for some of these guys today? What do you think? I know still a lot of questions to be answered because we haven't seen this in race conditions, but will we see some maybe outside of the box tactics by anybody today?
Well, and the shifting aspect has been in the media quite a bit this weekend because you can't shift just because of how the motors and the power band and everything in the motor is. So that has been an interesting topic of discussion, and there have been a couple drivers that have been more vocal about it than others. But in the past, that's something that we have seen, you know, become a big factor, and today it's not really going to be as much that way. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think that the big thing, too, is because track position is going to be so important today that it's going to come into the hands of the crew chiefs and the pit crews a lot too, because you need track position. So the strategy aspect comes into play when you're deciding, you know, when you pit, if you want to do two tires or four tires, you know, and the way the fuel window works with the stages today, it kind of is going to break up the stages. So there's a lot of things that are going to put, you know, maybe make the crew chiefs have a little bit of a headache by the end of the day, just because of what they have to do in order to ensure themselves the track position that they need, you know, when they want to have it. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, you're going to have several different agendas throughout the field, and it's going to be fun for us to cover it here on MRN because, you know, we always like when there's guys that are off sequence and trying things that are a little bit out of the box. So as far as what you see on the track, don't really know, but I think it's going to be exciting, just especially from a strategy standpoint, too, to see what these guys can come up with.
Dylan Welcher of the Motor Racing Network joining us here on Fast Track. Dylan, we are officially halfway through the regular season part of this schedule, and wins certainly are hard to come by this year in the Cup Series. Only six different drivers, I believe, have won so far this year, including three each for Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, and Martin Truex, of course, getting the win last week at Charlotte in the Coke 600. Have there been, sir, some surprises for this year? Are you surprised by the fact that the wins aren't getting shared amongst the drivers all that much this year? It seems like early in the year you'd always get a lot of different guys winning, and then late in the season you'd see the cream of the crop rise. But it seems like last year and now this year, it's only a select handful of drivers that are being able to taste the spoils of victory.
Yeah, I think the big surprise for me is just the lack of a win from any Stewart Haas car so far this year, just because obviously when you look at their list of drivers, you think, well, for sure, they, at least one of them would have a victory, and none of the four do. So, again, that's certainly not because they are struggling, because they've shown a lot of speed and have been fast, but they just haven't been able to find victory lanes. So that's a surprise to me. I think, you know, Ryan Blaney, when you look at the success of his team, Penske teammates, and Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, Ryan hasn't won a race yet. We've talked on our truck this week that this is the place he could do it. Obviously, he's won here before. He's led the most laps of any driver that doesn't have a win this year. So, again, he has shown speed, but it's a lot easier to show speed and be fast than it is to obviously get to the checker flag and end up in victory lane. So, both of those, the Stewart Haas cars, the lack of their win, and Ryan Blaney, too, who hasn't found victory lane yet, those to me have been the biggest surprises. But I think all of them, all five of those cars, are, you know, we shouldn't be surprised if even today if they found victory lane, because they're all right there knocking on the door It's just kind of a matter of a couple things falling their way.
Yeah, Harvick, I'm looking at the standings right now, and it just stands out. You look at the top seven guys in that win column, and he's got that goose egg that sticks out. He's the only driver in the top seven up there without a win, because all these six drivers that have won so far this season are all right up with Harvick there at the top of the standings. Dylan, last thing before we let you go, we were talking about IndyCar and the Indianapolis 500 last weekend, and you happened to spend some time at the Brickyard during the month of May. What was that like for you, and what were your thoughts on the race last weekend at the Brickyard?
Yeah, it was a great thrill for me. I'm originally from Indianapolis, and so I've grown up, you know, going to the Indy 500. That was, I used to race myself, still do race every once in a while, in dirt midgets, and the Indy 500 was always my dream, was always my goal for, you know, as is the case for a lot of race car drivers. But to get to work the coverage, you know, the last couple weeks was such a thrill for me, and to be part of the inaugural 500 with NBC and all of the coverage that we did on NBC Sports Gold and everything that went into the month of May for them, to be a part of the first one was something that I really valued and appreciated the opportunity to do and to be a part of that team. So it was a lot of fun for me, you know, not only just to to work that race, but just because of the fact that I've grown up going to that race for as long as I can remember. So that was really cool. And the race itself, you know, again, it was one of those races where I think there were some question marks going in because of how the race was last year with that new aero package on their side of things. And I think I don't know if anybody could have left that race disappointed, because that duel there with Rossi and Pagenaud was so exciting in those closing laps. And, is what makes Indy great is just that it always seems to come down to the wire there, and it was so much fun. And the weather there was crazy too. I still can't believe we got got everything in over there. So it was a great month and a great way to cap off the month of May with a fantastic 103rd running of the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, from what I could tell, it looked like Mother Nature was 24 hours late on the rain, and that was a good thing there in Indianapolis last weekend. Hey, Dill, what is up next on your racing schedule? I know you've run, as you said, you run dirt midgets. I think you've competed at the Chili Bowl. What's up next for you racing-wise?
Yeah, I'm actually, this coming week, I'm set to compete in the first three nights of Indiana Midget Week. It's six races and six nights around the state at different racetracks, and I'm going to run the first three starting on Tuesday, and then race on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then drive through the night after the race Thursday to Michigan for more NASCAR stuff with MRN next weekend. So that's coming up, and then I've got a few more kind of throughout the summer and into the fall. So really excited and thankful, you know, that despite my broadcasting commitments, the schedule still works out every once in a while for me to get back in the seat. So looking forward to that on Tuesday.
Well, very good. Hopefully the weather cooperates today at Pocono, and you and your MRN cohorts can have a great broadcast, and we'll be listening here today on WGR. Thank you so much for the time, Dylan.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, Dylan Welch from the Motor Racing Network, and again, we'll have live flag-to-flag coverage of today's race, pre-race coverage coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Green flag scheduled to fly at 2 o'clock, and hopefully it does stay dry there at the Tricky Triangle, or, you know, the fog doesn't roll in, because that's been a problem there too in the past, where a race was fogged out because it just wouldn't go away. So hopefully they get one in today at Pocono. Of course, next year, don't forget, Pocono's doing the doubleheader thing. They're combining their two cup dates into one weekend next season. And so this is the last year, at least for now, that Pocono has two separate cup weekends on their racing calendar. We get back. Phone lines will be open for you at 803-0550. More to come here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Toyota. And you're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Denny Hamlin starting sixth today at Pocono. And again, green flag coming up right at 2 o'clock, as they've kind of pushed up the start time as much as they could today on short notice. So green flag scheduled for 2 today at Pocono. Again, race will be right here on WGR. Charlotte last week, the Coke 600, and Martin Truex Jr. with a thrilling four-wide pass on a final restart with about six laps to go. Truex taking the lead, and as he led the majority of the laps on Sunday night, led 116 laps to pick up the win for his third of the year. And not the similar to his domination a couple of years ago in this race where he really turned into a snooze fest. It was a little more interesting than that, but still Truex getting the win. Joey Logano finishing in second last Sunday. Kyle Busch third, Chase Elliott fourth, Ricky Stenhouse round out the top five. Chris Buescher, a nice run for him in sixth place. Alex Bowman had his streak of second place finishes snap, but still a top 10 finisher him. And Hendrick Motorsports teammates Jimmy Johnson and William Byron. So all four Hendrick cars in the top 10. And now I can't remember the stat I saw. I believe it's been at least like two calendar years since all four Hendrick cars had a performance like that. Kevin Harvick rounded out the top 10. Other notable names in the field, Eric Almirola, 11th. Corey LaJoie had a good night, finishing in 12th. Ryan Blaney back in 13th. Denny Hamlin finished in 16th. Daniel Suarez in 18th. Brett Keselowski back in 19th. Clint Bowyer back in 24th. And, that'll about do it. Ryan Preece in 31st. Kyle Larson, of course, crashing out of the race. He finished in 33rd. There at the Coke 600 last Sunday night at Charlotte. Of course, the conclusion to the great motorsports day last Sunday. And for the Coke 600, I thought it was a pretty entertaining race as you can get on a mile and a half these days. It especially one as long as that with 400 laps. Of course, you know it's not going to be edgier seat, you know, white knuckle excitement throughout the finish. There was going to be some stretches there of just guys, you know, running in the green flag laps because it is the longest race of the year, but still better than the race a couple of years ago when Truex just kind of dominated and really, you know, turned it into a snooze fest. But a good race and a good finish, and obviously on the mile and a half, you know, the restarts help as they keep the field bunched up, obviously, and provide most of the excitement with the restarts there with the mile and a half. But with the package, it even more exciting because the guys do have a tendency to go three and four wide, as we saw as Truex got the win with the four wide pass. So looking at the points, as we said with Dylan Welch, halfway through the regular season, 13 out of the 26 here in the regular season are in the books. So Kyle Busch in the points lead by six over Joey Logano. Of course, they've got wins under their belts, so they're locked in for the postseason, along with Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex, and Denny Hamlin. Kevin Harvick, again, winless, as we just said in the last segment, but he is tied with Elliott for third in the points with 478, and I don't see him falling out of playoff contention, even if he doesn't win here in the regular season. The rest of the current playoff eligible drivers include Kurt Busch, Ryan Blaney, Alex Bowman, Clint Bowyer, Eric Almirola, Daniel Suarez, Jimmy Johnson, William Byron, and Kyle Larson. And he is 16th in the standings. He has a 2-point advantage on Eric Jones. Ryan Newman is 6 back of Larson. Ricky Stenhouse is 8 back of Larson. And then you have Menard 21 back and Austin Dillon 27 back. And then after that, it's more than a race worth of points. So really, at this point, I know I've harped on this point a lot the last couple of weeks, but coming out of the Charlotte Coke 600 race, the playoff picture gets very clear. And right now, if you're not above Austin Dillon in the point standings, I don't think you're going to the postseason unless you score the biggest surprise win some point this summer. So we're down to about 21 or so guys that might have a shot to make the playoffs, at least on points. And Larson has got plenty of company with him right now in the standings, including three drivers less than 10 points behind him. And then you throw in Menard and Dillon, and he's got five drivers beneath him in the standings that are within a race worth of points. You know, the most you can get is, without the stage points, 40 points in a race. So along with the bonus points and the playoff points. So, looking at the standings at this point with 13 races to go, it may be a long summer for some of those drivers, especially a guy like Eric Jones, like we talked about last week with Jordan Bianchi, someone feeling the pressure, his hot seat there in Joe Gibbs Racing, even with a year to go on his contract, with a lot of talented drivers in the Joe Gibbs Racing and Kyle Busch Motorsports pipeline behind him, most notably Christopher Bell. He's got to be feeling the pressure this year to make the postseason, and he starts the second half of the regular season on the outside looking in, but again, only by 2 points. And of course, Jones in a very capable ride of winning with driving for Joe Gibbs Racing. So he will have his opportunities here in the second half of the regular season. You look at the guys around Larson, Byron, the Hendrick Motorsports struggles we've detailed, but again, this seems to be they're turning things around, but Byron still very young in the sport and still He needs to get some more experience under his belt. He could falter here during the summer and fall out. Jimmy Johnson, 14th. No Chad Knauss here. Will the 48 team be able to keep it together? And can they get back to victory lane sometime this year? And then, really, once you get higher up in the standings, Eric Almirola with 360 points. He's a good almost 50 points ahead of Larson. So, really, the guys from Almirola on up in the standings would really have to just either get hurt or really falter here in the next 13 races to fall out of playoff contention, even points-wise. So, really, from Johnson in 14th with 324 points and back to Austin Dillon in 21st with 284, that's about a 50-point gap from 14th back to 21st, and those will be the guys on the bubble, at least, we'll be looking at all summer long. Looking at the IndyCar standings coming out of yesterday's race at Detroit, we talked about what a big point swing this is, and it shows in the standings. When you look at the guys on top of the IndyCar standings, Newgarden leads the points thanks to his win yesterday, his second of the year with 303. He is about 25 up on Pagenaud, who, of course, got the double points victory last week at Indianapolis. He's got 278. Rossi is 8 points back of Pagenaud for second with 270. And then there's Sato, again, with the back-to-back third-place finishes, but he has 238. So he's nearly 65 points behind Newgarden for the points lead. Dixon rounds out the top five with 211. And then Power, Hunter Ray, Hinchcliffe, Piggott, and Rahal, the top 10. Qualifying on hold in Detroit, I think they got at least one or two rounds of qualifying in so far this morning at Detroit. But water is an issue, and not because it's raining at Belle Isle, but all the rain they received yesterday and all the tire barriers seems to be kind of leaking out onto the racetrack. So they've put qualifying on hold, at least for the last half, since we've been on the air. It's been kind of on hold there at Detroit, and they're trying to dry those sections of the track up so the guys wouldn't have to go to wet weather tires, obviously. They can keep the slicks on, so that's put qualifying on hold. Graham Rahal, however, has via social media alerted everyone that he has had a gearbox failure, and he is going to have to start last today in the second race at Belle Isle. As he got a top 10 yesterday, but obviously was involved in that crash in the 500 last weekend. But he will not even be able to continue qualifying, so he will start last today at the race at Belle Isle, a former winner of that event in Detroit. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Your thoughts on IndyCar, NASCAR, anything else going on in the world of motorsports? Again, another classic at the Brickyard last week in the battle between Pagenaud and Rossi for the win. And NASCAR getting ready to do battle today at Pocono. NHRA also in action this weekend there in Chicago for the Route 66 NHRA Nationals. Pro Stock's back in action after a couple of weeks off. Again, they're running a shorter schedule this year on the national event circuit than Funny Car and Top Fuel. But Greg Anderson, number one qualifier there in Pro Stock. Mike Salinas, another number one qualifier performance for him in Top Fuel. And Robert Height continues his good runs. This is his sixth number one qualifying performance in Funny Car this year. Height has been really on his game in the early stages of the NHRA season. Pro Modified appears to be off this week, so don't have to keep track of Mike Janis. Also, I was looking at some of the sportsman class results, and in top sport or super stock, excuse me, Dan Fletcher of Churchville, New York, that we've had on the program. Unfortunately, he got eliminated, it looks like, in the quarterfinals so far in the super stock category there at Chicago. So he won't be moving on to the semifinals in that class. Steve Torrence topping the NHRA top fuel point standings after the first nine events of the season. Robert Height has a firm Funny Car lead by 161 points over J.R. Todd. And Pro Stock, again, running the shorter schedule there, back in action. And Bo Butner, who has picked up some wins so far this year, he has a large lead over Alex Laughlin there in the Pro Stock category. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We were talking to Dylan Welch, and of course, with MRN for NASCAR coverage and works with NBC for their IndyCar coverage, and was there at the Brickyard. And pretty good job by NBC last weekend. Mike Tirico was great. Danica Patrick was pretty good. Dale Jr. was Dale Jr. Not that it's a bad thing. That's just, he's just Dale Jr. He has his own personality. Overall, I thought the broadcast was pretty good. The commercials did seem to get a little Fox-like ridiculous by the end of the afternoon. Maybe it's just me. I don't know, but it just seemed like there was a lot of commercial breaks late in the race. Luckily, all of their, except maybe the few local breaks there are on the NBC broadcast, all of their breaks are split screen, so we didn't miss much action. You still got to follow along during the commercial breaks, but it did seem like there were a lot of commercial breaks maybe late in the race. So that got a little annoying, and that's one of the things I like to vent about on social media. But I guess that was one of the more aggravating things. But besides that, I thought NBC did a great job. I love Lee Diffie in the play-by-play role. Paul Tracy's okay, but I think I love listening to Lee Diffie call a race, so I thought he was phenomenal there. But Mike Tirico, as I said, did a good job in the hosting role, and he has become, kind of following in the footsteps, I guess, in Bob Costas's role as kind of the face of NBC Sports and the main anchor of all their big events, like the Indy 500 now that they have that, and the Kentucky Derby and the Stanley Cup Final, and of course their NFL coverage. I think Tirico has moved into that role phenomenally. I love that he's become like the next, face of American sports broadcasting in the same way that Bob Costas was, at least from an NBC standpoint. You know, just those great, whenever it's a big event, you see those guys on TV, like a Joe Buck over on Fox and Jim Nantz on CBS. Tirico has become that quite nicely for NBC, and I think he does a great job. But again, the commercials, a little too much. But luckily, they did do the split screen coverage, so you kind of were able to keep tabs and everything else going on. But the camera angles were good, the overhead shots were great, and they had really great coverage. Some of the in-car stuff also very good. It seemed like some of the guys where the incidents were happening. They had the in-car with Ray Hall, they had the Rossi's in-car. When he was gesturing at Servia, and they had a great shot of the fueling issue that Rossi had, where you could see the issues there with the fueling issues they had at Rossi, and you could see the fuel pump going into the car there and see that they weren't getting any fuel into the car. So I thought all of that turned out great, and I thought it was a nice job by NBC as a whole. So I'll give them a solid, B-plus rating, I guess. For their job of their first Indianapolis 500. And of course, they have all the IndyCar races here starting this year. Traditionally, the last couple of years had been ABC, ESPN had just the Indianapolis races, and they always had this Detroit race, some kind of deal they had with Roger Penske going way back, but now they're all on NBC. And watching the NBC coverage of qualifying here in the studio, and they're continuing to try and dry up some sections of the track there at Detroit. As they look to get qualifying going, I believe green flag this afternoon will be 3:50 there at Belle Isle for the second IndyCar race. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We get back the local racing roundup. Mixed results this weekend. Again, Friday was nice. Saturday, not so hot, but one track managed to get a program in, and another hoping to get a show in tonight. We'll talk about that when we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
All right, we'll start with the Friday night action at the Ransomville Speedway, the Big R. And Davey Franek got the win in the Patriot Sprints, the driver out of New Jersey. First time ever to Ransomville, but picked up the win in the Patriot Sprints. Kyle Inman showed up to the Big R and got the sportsman win. Jaron Israel in the Street Stocks, his 50th career win there. Chris Leone in the Mini Stocks. And David Fingerlow in the Novice Sportsman there Friday night at the Big R. This Friday night, they've got Crate Late Models joining the program with the Sportsman off and the Modifieds back this Friday night at the Big R. Friday night drag racing action, Keith Cleveland picked up the win in Top Eliminator. Reed Ricketson got the win in Top Mod-ET, excuse me. Mason Fix won the Mod-ET final that was postponed from the week before due to curfew. Lucas Salemi got the win in Bikes and Sleds, and Keith Winkowski got the win in Street-ET Friday night at Lancaster. Cody Winkowski got the win there a Friday night in Street T at Lancaster, and they continue this Friday night with more IHRA drag racing, and also they have a practice session for the stock cars coming up this Saturday night. Friday night at the Spencer Speedway, the Race of Champions Modified Series, and it was great to be back at a pavement track for my first time this season, and great to be with the modified community for a great modified race, the tribute to Don Press 62. And Patrick Emmerling got the win over Eric Beers and teammate Mike Leedy. Emmerling was battling with Andy Jankowiak until Jankowiak crashed on a restart, spinning his tires coming out of turn four. And then Emmerling held off Eric Beers for the win, with Mike Leedy recovering from an opening lap incident, driving back through the field, but can only make his way back up to third there. Tommy Barron won the Superstocks race for the Race of Champions Superstocks. Dave Milbrand Jr. won the four-cylinder race there Friday night at the Spencer Speedway. Saturday night action, very wet. We had that big line of thunderstorms roll through the area just about, 6:30, 7 o'clock last night. And Merrittville Speedway unfortunately rained out. Wyoming County Speedway got started, but they also rained out. But Genesee Speedway pressed on. They had the advantage of being a little bit farther east, so they probably got a little bit farther in their program than some of the other tracks closer to the lakes. And they had about an hour or so rain delay, but got the show in. Jeremy Wonderling won the race Rush Late Model Tour feature over Jason Jenko and Braden Dilliger. John Zimmerman won the Street Stock feature. Bill Weller Jr. in the Mini Stocks, and Allison DeWitt picked up the win in the Bandits. But good to see the folks there at Genesee kind of press on despite the rain that came down there, but they were able to get their program in. Humberstone Speedway scheduled to still be in action for tonight. Obviously, as if you've looked out your window while you've been on the air, it is raining here in the area, but currently Humberstone still slated to get going tonight at 6:30. At least that is the plan for now, and just continue to follow their social media accounts for the latest updates from Humberstone. So looking forward to being back at Lancaster this Saturday, even for a practice session. Excited for that. And 2 weeks away, we'll be at the Lake Erie Speedway for the Race of Champions Modified Series, and that is always a fun show, especially this year with the must-see racing sprints, sprint cars on asphalt, also on the docket there this year at the Lake Erie Speedway. So lots of great racing, short track racing throughout the country this weekend. I mean, the World of Outlaws, they were at the Nashville Fairgrounds. They put dirt on the smaller oval there at the Nashville Fairgrounds, and a historic short track there in Tennessee. I was watching the NASCAR Modified Tour race from Seekonk, New Hampshire last night. Doug Kobe picked up the win there. They had a big sprint car race in Mansfield, Ohio. Jukasa Motor Speedway, they're open today as well, too. I forgot to mention that. They have the NASCAR Pinty Series. That was supposed to happen last night. It got rained out halfway through the show, and they're going to try and make up that feature this afternoon if you want to take make the trip to Nell's Corners, Ontario. I believe that's a 1:30 start, but with the weather, I'm not sure what the latest is up there at Jukasa. I would check with them if you wanted to head out there. But just lots of great short track racing throughout the country this weekend, including right here in our own Western New York and Southern Ontario backyard. But a lot of great stuff going on as we finally, get through May now into June and hit the summer months, and lots of a great summer of local racing to come your way. Last thought here before we say goodbye on this Sunday morning. Richard Petty and Bubba Wallace were in St. Louis last night for the Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, and had to tweet that out. And one of my little, my Twitter shtick, I guess you could say, whenever there's like a hockey racing moment, whether there's like an NHL player at a racing event or a motorsports driver at an NHL game, usually it's like a NASCAR, IndyCar driver promoting some event in a market, I always have to do the hashtag hockey racing crossover. It's just something I do on Twitter whenever I see that. And we got another edition of hockey racing crossover with Bubba Wallace and Richard Petty at the Stanley Cup final game last night. Of course, the Stanley Cup was at the Brickyard during the leading up to the Indy 500. Did a pace lap in the two-seater with Mario Andretti. But again, if you just check out my Twitter account at FastTrack550 and just search the hashtag hockey racing crossover, you can just find some fun stuff that whenever I see some kind of event where there's, like I said, like Kurt Busch at the Vegas Golden Knights game or something like that, I always have to tweet it out just as an ongoing joke of mine. So hope you enjoy that. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Sunday at 11 a.m. with Father's Day next Sunday, right? No, we're 2 weeks away from Father's Day. So, NASCAR And IndyCar will recap their weekends and lots of hopefully local racing results to talk about next weekend, too. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on Fast Track.